come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome into a very special edition of Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you every Saturday at 9 o'clock here on The Game and always on demand. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. You can go to Google, iTunes, Spotify. It's always at thegamenashville.com and at chasingcheckersradio.com as well. The Nashville Super Speedway is officially reopened. The Truck Series ran last night. Ryan Preece was the winner. It was his first career Camping World Truck Series start, and he got a win, joining the likes of Ryan Newman, Casey Kane, Robert Presley, and, of course, Mike Skinner, who won the first ever Truck Series race to do that. So pretty cool to see him get that trophy and, of course, that Gibson guitar. So what we're going to do with this special edition of Chasing Checkers, as I have been very busy with my PA duties at the Nashville Super Speedway. Over the last few weeks leading up to this race, we've had a series of interviews, whether it was on this show or Darren Donick and Chase that I host from 10 to 2 weekdays, along with Darren McFarlane and Willie Donick. We've had some drivers, we've had some personalities on, talking about the lead up to Nashville. So we're going to replay some of those for you here today. And we start with Bubba Wallace, the driver of the number 2311 Toyota, of course, Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan, and he joined us last week to talk about returning to Nashville.
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and I know you have to be excited because I can remember a few years ago at Daytona Media Days when the city of Nashville was brought up, everybody perked up about that. But this the NASCAR returning to Nashville in this market has to be a thrill for you guys because it's such a great racing city.
It is, you know, I've been racing over the fairgrounds, you know, when I was coming up through the ranks when I was a kid, and didn't really know much about the speedway. Had one test back in 2013, made a couple laps, but still that was 8 years ago. So I'm going into it brand new. We'll get a little bit of time on the simulator, but Nashville's such a great town for everything, music, events, sports, you know, you name it, Nashville's got it all. So for us to just be going back to the city is really special for a lot of us in the field.
Why do you think that this city is important to a sport like NASCAR that is constantly growing and evolving, but now coming back to a city that, you know, is from its roots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a southern city for sure. And southern sport, so it's the roots are there, the ties are there, so it's just bringing it back to a lot of people that say travel to Atlanta, travel to Bristol, Kentucky, you know, those venues that are there, these people can get a little bit shorter drive, come out and enjoy one of their favorite sports and cheer on their favorite drivers. So Eric and his staff, hearing him talk about all the work that they've done and will continue to do until race day, you know, it's exciting for everybody, from the drivers, for the fans, the crew members. So it'll be cool.
Eric, how excited are you to see a young driver with the talent of Bubba Wallace take to your track for the inaugural Ally 400?
Well, Chase, you know, I'm stoked about this whole thing and about bringing Series racing back to Middle Tennessee, and for these fans who have been waiting for it for almost 4 decades to be able to see the best of the best, and Bubba included. He and I were talking earlier about when we first met last August, and he talked about his connection to this marketplace, which made my ears perk up because I know how popular a driver he is, and that people are going to want to see him as well as all the rest of the Cup Series drivers who are going to be out here competing for this crown.
Yeah, absolutely. And we cannot wait for the show coming up in a couple of weeks. Bubba, year one of 2311 racing, and obviously with a new race team, even though you have the alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, there's going to be a lot of things to figure out. You're coming out of a pandemic, starting a race team, but what has this journey been like for you and getting things going with 2311?
Yeah, it's been a process, no doubt. It's definitely a lot of fun and a lot of challenging times, but it seems like we have all the right people to help us guide our way through those challenging times and still end up with good finishes, good results. So it's fun working with the caliber of guys we have over 2311 Racing, and having Denny and MJ, you know, leading the calls and making things happen behind the scenes to help make our program better has been really cool and cool to understand and see their mindsets going into it. So got a long season ahead of us still, a lot of racing left to do. So we still got a lot of work to do, but I'm excited in the direction that we're heading.
Was one of the most appealing things about this to you being able to work with Denny? Denny's a proven winner. The fact that he's not a champion is surprising to a lot of people because he's a championship caliber driver, but to be able to not only work for him, but lean on him, learn things from him. How beneficial has that been?
Yeah, it's been nice to, you know, hear, you know, what, you know, he does for preparation leading up to races or post race, the ideas that he has and just how we can be better as a team. So he's definitely been a leader in that standpoint, definitely going to give his opinion where he believes that he can help in our weak points. And then he's also taking an ear to some of the strong points that we do have to help him be better. So just all in all, both of us trying to push each other and push our organization to be the best that we can be.
What did it mean to you when this was announced, this all came together, and you see all these sponsors come on board wanting to not only support this race team, but support Bubba Wallace?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, it's having people that you don't necessarily, you know, think about and know that they're thinking about you as just trying to be their driver or, you know, come back and stand behind and support. So definitely appreciative. Humbling, you know, no doubt. You definitely can't take it for granted. There's always that next driver that's ready to take your seat. So I got to make sure I'm doing everything I can, dotting every I, crossing every T, and just doing the best and being the best that I can be.
You mentioned MJ. I watched that interview that you guys did for the Daytona 500. I think that was the first time you had actually met him in person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in the 90s watching the Bulls, a huge Michael Jordan fan. The fact that he's your car owner, one of your car owners, that's got to be awesome.
It is. You know, I've gotten a chance to sit down with him a couple of times now. And you know, at the same time, I'm like, man, this is cool. You know, hearing him understand things. But then on the other side of things, I'm like, man, this is badass. I'm sitting here with MJ and hear him, you know, chop it up with MJ. So there's two sides of it, but mostly trying to keep it, you know, business related and get things done on and off the racetrack.
Bubba, the last year for you, switching teams and everything that has gone on, watching the sport grow, become more diverse, what have you learned about yourself over the last year with everything that has happened?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've matured a lot. I've had a better understanding of who I am as a person in this crazy place we call the world and call life. Figuring out, you know, kind of my purpose in life. And so just when you think you got it figured out, there's always something there to test you and to make you think another way. So, yeah, just got to keep going, just trying to be the best human being that I can be and encourage others to do the same.
So as we wrap up, you mentioned getting in the simulator and, you know, iRacing has skyrocketed, you know, through the pandemic and everything. We've all used that, but how beneficial is the simulator to drivers, especially when you don't have practice and qualifying most weeks, you're going to a track, as you mentioned, like Nashville, that you don't have a lot of experience. How close are these things now to the real thing?
Yeah, it's, you know, spending a lot of time on the sim is definitely beneficial. You can spend too much time on there and create some bad habits, but, you know, for me, never really seeing the place or I guess forgetting about Nashville 8 years ago, it'll be good to kind of rekindle that flame and get things going, get the blood flowing again, get the juices going and just get into a rhythm there because that's what it's going to be about when it comes race time.
Well, we can't wait to see that number 23 out on the track at the Nashville Super Speedway. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. And Eric, I know you're excited to have Bubba and all of his competitors out there coming up Father's Day weekend on June 20th. Guys, appreciate the time today.
Thanks, well, thank you,
man. When we come back, we will chat with the 2020 Cup Series champion, Chase Elliott of Dawsonville, Georgia. He, of course, will be running in the Cup race on Sunday at the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll get his thoughts on that and much more when we come back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. And we're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can, of course, check everything out at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. Rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast as well. Just search for Chasing Checkers. As you know, I co-host Darren Donick and Chase with Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, weekdays from 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And earlier this week, we were joined by the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion, Chase Elliott, who talked about the historic weekend that Hendrick Motorsports had and also returning to Nashville.
What does it mean to you drivers? We know we've had enough drivers on. We've had you on to know how you feel about Nashville, but to come back and have NASCAR back on the Nashville scene, what does it mean? I know you guys talk, so we've talked to enough drivers. This is a market a lot of drivers like.
Well, I think it's a market that NASCAR needs to be in for sure. It's a popular city, a city that's been, you know, booming here. I feel like over the course of the last, I don't know what, 5-6 years especially. But I just think NASCAR belongs there. I would much rather see it at the fairgrounds and hopefully one day we can achieve that goal. But, being outside the city a little ways, I think is a step better than we would have had if we weren't there at all. So we'll, hopefully put on a good show and try to make everybody want to come back.
Chase Elliott is with us, the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion, and a fun weekend last weekend at Charlotte for Hendrick Motorsports. It was your 200th career Cup start, which is really hard to believe that it's already been 200 for you. But Kyle Larson dominates, wins the race, and Rick Hendrick becomes the winningest driver in Cup Series history. You won the week before to tie it. How special has it been the last few weeks at Hendrick Motorsports?
Well, it's certainly an exciting place to be right now. I feel like we're just in a good place as a company and across the board with how things are operating right now. So we just need to ride the wave the best we can. You know, it's great to get Mr. Hendrick the record. I think he deserves to have it. There's 600 plus employees at Motorsports that deserve to have that record, that have been around for a long time, that put in a lot of work and effort to get to the track each weekend, that don't ever get the recognition they deserve. So all those men and women deserve to be on top, and I'm glad to see them where they belong, honestly. And I think for the rest of us, we're just fortunate to be in a good situation right now. We have fast race cars. And like I said, we just have to ride the wave. You're racing something that it's going to come in waves. You're going to have times where things are good for you. You're going to have times where things are bad for you. And you just have to take them as they come, and right now, you know, things have been good, so we need to make the most of it and make it last as long as we can.
What does it mean now that, you know, Jimmy has moved on, he's retired? I guess from a Hendrick Motorsports point of view, you're the elder statesman. I know Kyle's been in the Cup Series for a while, but his first year there, Alex Bowman, William Byron, now you have this group of young guys that you're all kind of coming up together, and now it's kind of your show to help take Hendrick into the next era. You know, it went from the Jeff Gordon era to the Jimmy Johnson era. So what does it mean to kind of be at the forefront of that?
Well, I think it's like I said before, it's just an exciting place to be, and it is kind of crazy how quickly it's changed. You know, I remember my first race over there, you know, you had Jimmy, Jeff, Dale, and Casey. And that was their lineup. And then I ran a fifth car there in 2015 for a few races. And just crazy, you know, there's only been a few of us in that room that have watched it literally change year to year and watch the people leave and but be able to work with them before they do. So it's honestly an honor to kind of see how that dynamic has shifted and to see those guys move on and have other things in their life to go want to achieve and enjoy time with their family and do all the things they deserve to go do. But then also to see young guys come in and have the opportunities they have, much like myself and really our entire crew right now. So, yeah, like I said, just an exciting place to be. Looking forward to the rest of this year and seeing what it brings.
So how would you evaluate – you're coming off your first win a couple of weeks ago at COTA, which that was wild, watching you guys try and race in the rain. Let's start with that. What was that like, running in the rain?
Yeah, it was a bit of a challenge for sure. It was raining pretty hard there from the midway on to when they called it. But, you know, there were elements of it that I thought were fun. You know, rain racing is definitely different. It's a type of racing that we haven't done a lot. I did it once in a stock car in 2014, I think, but that was really the last time. So it's just different. And, you know, there's parts of it that are fun. Obviously the visibility aspect of it and how hard it was raining, some of the standing water became a large challenge there towards the end of the day. But, you know, I thought overall it was just different. And I don't think it was as bad as some might have thought, but it definitely was elements of it that were fun, but I definitely think there was a line somewhere, I guess, that had to be drawn to what we could do and what we couldn't.
So with your season, you got the win, you're fourth in the standings, you finished second last week in the Coke 600. Do you feel like things are, I feel like with you, it's always been, you know, you get a handful of races in, and that's when things really start to come together and we see some wins. Do you feel like that things are starting to come together for your team and maybe you can chase that second championship?
I certainly hope so. For us, I feel like we really go about things just like we always do. And I don't feel like we're in a different space today than we were last year or at the beginning of the season. So we just got to keep pushing ahead, keep looking forward to new opportunities and bring fast race cars to the racetrack and execute good racing. And I feel like our group is plenty good enough to compete with whoever on a weekly basis. I feel really good about that. So I'm just excited for more chances to go and try to win and keep battling.
What is it, you know, there's another road course coming up this weekend at Sonoma. What is it that makes you so good on the road courses? We've seen you really shine your entire career.
Yeah, I get that. That's been a popular question over the course of this week, and I really don't have a great answer for you. I never really have had a good answer for that question. The best thing I can tell you is I came into a good situation with the team I kind of fell into. Jeff Gordon was a fantastic road racer, one of the best that NASCAR has ever seen. And Alan has a great understanding of road course racing, my crew chief, to be successful. So when you have those two things together and those guys who have built a really nice foundation, and then you have a young guy come in like myself, when that foundation is already built and a young guy is trying to learn, when you learn on a good foundation, it's a lot easier to learn than when you're also trying to build a foundation while you learn. And that really, I feel like, has been probably the biggest piece that has allowed us to do well. So I still think I can do a better job. I feel like our cars we can continue to improve there too. So just all around, I feel like I fell into a good spot and was able to learn and learn fast and learn about the things that mattered and try to get better from there. So yeah, we're, you know, looking forward to the weekend. Sonoma hasn't been great, honestly. Sonoma has been that road course that we just have not ever really run great at. So we've, tried to dissect some of that going into the weekend and look to be a little better. So hopefully our thought process is on time and we can improve like we think we can.
You mentioned how good Jeff was at road courses and getting advice from him. But whether it's a road course or oval or anything, how much do you lean on your dad on getting advice and running some of these places?
Yeah, and Dad was a great road racer too. I think kind of gets swept under the rug, but he had, you know, success on road courses and always really enjoyed them. And I feel like that's a big piece of it too, is you have to enjoy that stuff. And, you know, used to you only had a couple road course races on the schedule. Now we have like six or seven. So it's kind of one of those things where you almost have to enjoy it now. But yeah, Dad's always been a great asset and offers his opinion when he feels like he needs to. And I always try to listen to a little bit of everything from everybody and then piece together what I feel like is important from there.
Coming up on the other side, had a really good conversation yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase with Kyle Petty of NBC Sports. He's got a new show that he's going to be debuting for them and on Peacock. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on returning to Nashville and the season so far. Kyle Petty next, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5. We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game. It's always available on podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com as well. On Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, we chatted with Kyle Petty of NBC Sports. He has a new show coming up, and we did this when we were live at the Nashville Super Speedway just before the Camping World Truck Series race. And of course,
the Xfinity Series tomorrow, and then the Big Daddy, the Cup Series, returns for the first time since 1984. And that is going to be awesome on Sunday. We say hello now to Kyle Petty of NBC Sports. He does a tremendous job with their NASCAR coverage. So 1984 at the fairgrounds, I'm pretty sure Kyle Petty would have raced out there. Am I right?
I did race out there, man. So that was, I guess, 80, 81, 82, 83, four of those 4 or 5 years before we went away. And then I used to come up here with my dad all the time. So I've been to the fairgrounds a million times. I'm looking forward to the Nashville Super Speedway, man. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, this 1.3-mile facility. And, yeah, the name Petty and NASCAR, obviously a big one. But Nashville in NASCAR was once a big deal, and it feels like, Kyle, that it's becoming a big deal again. It's really cool to see the sport want to be here.
Yeah, you know what, and I look at this both ways, because it's cool to see the sport want to be here, but it's cool to see the city and the area want the sport to come back and be a part of this. You know, I've said it, you know, we've been talking about this for ever since they made the announcement. It seems like, you know, NASCAR was the left hand and music and Nashville was the right hand. And finally, these guys are back together again. You know what I mean? And they fit perfectly and they work perfectly together and they're in sync. And, you know, it is everything that we thought that everybody thought it always was. I mean, we used to come up here in the 70s and go to the Opry at the Ryman with Marty Robbins. He would take Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison and my dad and guys like that, and stand on the side of the stage at the Opry. So, I mean, we've always had that connection with different guys who have come out of the music industry and been a part of NASCAR. But to be back in this town is really special.
And, you know, the unique part about it, Kyle, is, you know, they're racing out here at the Nashville Super Speedway. Eric Moses and his crew, they've done a great job fixing this place up. It sat here for 10 years and nothing was going on. And now they're hosting Cup racing. But, you know, the fairgrounds is still a very real possibility with SMI and Marcus Smith, those guys. How crazy would it be for one market to host two races at two different facilities? That's something that the closest, I guess, you could really say that that's happened is when the Xfinity and Truck Series raced at IRP and the Cup was at Indy Motor Speedway.
Yeah. That, listen, I'm not going to say it's not unheard of. I will say it's kind of crazy, but I mean, listen, Nashville's got to be excited. You've got the Cup cars coming and everybody out at the Speedway, out at National Super Speedway. And at the same time, you're having an IndyCar race in the streets, man. So everybody's coming to town. So if you want to throw the fairgrounds into that, you can't have a conversation about Nashville and motorsports without having a conversation and including the fairground speedway in it. Just because Neil Bonnet raced there, Cuckoo Marlin, Sterling Marlin, Neil Bonnet, everybody that was anybody, Darrell Walter, came through and cut their teeth there in the lesser divisions and was there in the NASCAR division. So, you know, it's part of it. That would be crazy to think we came to town twice in two different locations. Man, if we're going to come to town twice, if NASCAR is going to come to town twice and run the Super Speedway, the short track, why don't we just run in the streets with the Indy cars too? Why don't we just take over the whole town?
Kyle Petty is with us from NBC Sports. You have a new primetime TV series, Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty, which is going to premiere on July 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on Circle Network and Peacock. That sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us a little more about it.
Listen, it was a lot of fun. And the premise of the show is give me a vehicle, whether it's a boat, plane, train, automobile, I don't care, that's sentimental to you. Dale Jr. is our first episode, and his is a 1988 Chevy S10 pickup. Davis Love III was a fishing boat. That's his sentimental. Darius Rucker, I did one with him, and his is a Karmann Ghia, a convertible Karmann Ghia he rides around Charleston in. So, and that's a gateway. That gets you into a conversation about, you know, what they are, who they are. You know, Dale Jr. talks about his concussions. He talks about his wife and his kids. Darius talks about how much Charleston and how much Charleston, South Carolina meant to him, and how much that's just a part of his soul and who he is and how he reacts to things. And the man that he's become and the singer that he is. So I did my dad, Mario Andretti, Ric Flair, man. I'm looking forward to everybody seeing the Ric Flair episode. It was pretty cool. You know, I'm doing Pitbull. That excited about that. Herschel Walker. I mean, it's an eclectic group of sportsmen and you know, entertainers and just you put them all together and they have a lot in common. And if you watch every episode, you'll see that they have a lot in common. It was just a lot of fun for me. And I tell people, thank you, Circle Network, for allowing me to do something that I wanted to do. Because if everybody watches it and nobody likes it, I still had a good time doing it. And that's kind of guy I am. I just had a good time doing it.
How cool is it? You mentioned Pitbull. To have him now involved in the sport as a car owner with Trackhouse, I mean, it shows how diverse this sport is becoming, but it also goes back to what we were just talking about, mixing music and entertainment and then racing.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think the sport made a huge deal, and rightfully so, with Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan and, you know, Bubba Wallace. But the surprise team to me has been Daniel Suarez and Justin Marks and those guys. And to add Pitbull into that mix, it just brings a totally different market. I mean, as we look at the demographics, it's a demographic changer. It is a changer. Danica Patrick was. You looked in the grandstands. You saw more little girls. You saw more female fans. I think as we look in the grandstands and we see, you know, Daniel started it with Coca-Cola, Daniel's Amigos, the Hispanics and Latino market that would come to the racetrack to watch Daniel race. And now you throw Pitbull in. And his Mr. Worldwide, and everybody knows who he is, and we look at things, and you look in the grandstands, that's a different demographic that this market is, or that the sport is pulling now, and it's because of entertainment and the mix of entertainment and sports.
So Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be on the debut episode on July 8th of Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty. You two share a common bond in the fact that you were the next generation of, you know, you had your grandfather, Lee, your dad, Richard, that were champions and race winners. Dale had Dale Sr., obviously, Ralph Earnhardt, his grandfather. That is not easy by any means to follow that legacy. So what has that, I guess, relationship been like, even though you have a age difference and now you work together at NBC, but what is that like of sharing that common bond of knowing that you have your own legacy, but there's one that you were born into?
You know what? I think, and I've said this before, and listen, if you know, people know my dad and they know I'm not anything like my dad. I don't look like him. I don't walk like him. I don't talk like him. And you know, Dale Jr. is the same way. If you need Dale Sr., Dale Jr. is his own man. And I think, you know, we look at each other and we understand that. It's just unspoken. We are who we are. Yes, we grew up in the shadow of greatness and went off and did things on our own. But, you know, and that's a part of who we are, man. He's proud of his dad and I'm so proud of my dad and always will be. And that's life. That's the guy that lives around the corner from you and the guy that works in the grocery store. You know, you're just proud of your parents and who they are. But, at the same time, there's a little bit of, you know, when somebody says something, you know the answer. You look at it. And it's funny. I had to ask him when we did dinner drive. My first question was, okay, tell me the truth. What's the question you get asked the most in your whole life that you've been asked your whole life? What is that question? And he's like, yeah, man, what's Dale Earnhardt like? And I'm like, exactly, because I get what's Richard Petty like. That is the question. So there are things that we have in common and that we share. And it's just that growing up in that shadow, growing up that way. But you know what? I don't think either one of us would change anything. We'd be exactly the people we are no matter what.
A few weeks ago, Hendrick Motorsports became the all-time winningest cup team, passing Petty Enterprises. And, you know, records, as they say, are meant to be broken. But with your family's legacy, I mean, what was that moment like when it happened? You kind of felt like it was going to happen eventually with the way Hendrick has been running as of late, this year especially. But what was that moment like from your perspective?
You know what? I think it was a great moment for the sport. For our family, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Petty Enterprises and that group and that morphed into Richard Petty Motorsports and what it is. And they've won a few races and few and far between, but not nearly as competitive as my dad was and as our home team was all those years ago. And I jokingly say it, but it's the truth. It's just a different time in the world. Think about this. When Petty Enterprises set that mark and Richard Petty was a driver, Sears Roebuck was the largest retailer in the world, and you still ordered stuff out of the Christmas catalog. When Rick Hendrick did it, Amazon controls everything, and that's the dynamics. That's the juxtaposition of Sears and Roebuck against Amazon. It's Richard Petty and Petty Enterprises and the way racing was then against what racing is now. So you can't even compare the feats, but what Rick Hendrick has built and what he has done is simply amazing, and I said it at the time. When you looked at Petty Enterprises, it had Richard Petty's fingerprints all over it. And all those wins had Richard Petty's fingerprints all over it. When you look at Hendrick Motorsports, it's the same. It's Rick's personality. It's who Rick is. It's the man Rick is. It's the values that Rick carries. And, you know, I think it's a great time in the sport, a great day in the sport when records like that are beat, because that shows the sport's still viable. That shows the sport's still growing. And listen, Kyle Larson may be the guy that sets every record from here on out because he only seems to run second or first every week. So Rick's on a roll again, so there's no telling where this number is going to end up.
Yeah, you bring up Kyle Larson. As NBC takes over for the rest of the way, they will have all the races through the championship. Kyle Larson has come on with this huge streak. He's won three races. He just won the All-Star race. You mentioned it's first or second. That seems to be where it is, but is there a driver that you've been watching through the first half of the schedule that you think maybe could challenge him?
If there is, it's inside the Hendrick camp. I think William Byron is a sleeping giant. Yep. I mean, he went on that streak of 10 or 11, you know, top 10 races or whatever, broke Jeff Gordon's record. We talk about record breaking. He broke Jeff Gordon's record on that. So I think you look at it. When that kid busts off a win or two in a row, back-to-back, then look out, because that team has gelled. But then you look at Chase Elliott, who won the championship last year, and he's always right there, too. So I've not seen anything else. I would like to think of Joey Logano. I would like to think of Denny Hamlin. I would like to think of Kyle Busch, somebody from the Gibbs organization. Martin Truex would jump up and be able to contend week in and week out. But we've not seen that over the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, and headed into this summer stretch when it's the grind and when it's the tough time, and when you've got to make points to go into our playoff season, the Hendrick guys are controlling everything.
Well, it's definitely going to be fun to watch and see who can challenge. I agree with you on William Byron, though. I think that kid is very, very talented. Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty debuts Thursday, July 8th. At 7 o'clock Central Time, his first guest will be Dale Earnhardt Jr. He'll also have Davis Love III, Darius Rucker, Mario Andretti, Ric Flair, his father, Richard Petty, and much more. Kyle, appreciate the time. It's going to be fun this weekend in Nashville, and we'll be watching on NBC.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
We will wrap things up with an amazing interview. A lot of you have commented on this and told me that you really enjoyed it. Kyle Busch, the driver of the number 18, who was fastest in Xfinity practice, yesterday at the Nashville Super Speedway. I look forward to seeing how he does in cup practice today. He was always really good here in the trucks and Xfinity and even ARCA before. We will talk to Kyle when we come back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. And I told you this was going to be the Bush Brothers show, and we had Kurt earlier on the show, and now we say hello to the two-time champion, Kyle Busch. Kyle, appreciate you taking the time. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
Doing well. Excited to have you guys back in Nashville. And you were here a few years ago for the awards banquet, which was awesome. But now we get to see racing at the cup level for the first time since 1984. Now, you have raced out at the Nashville Super Speedway. You've raced at the fairgrounds. I mean, you've been all over the place, but you've won at the Nashville Super Speedway. What does it mean for NASCAR to be back in this market and having competitive races again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's really good. You know, obviously, being a part of the sport for so long now, being able to race at Nashville Super Speedway years ago in the ARCA Series, Truck Series, Xfinity Series, being able to win there in all three of those as well, too, was pretty cool. So being able to bring NASCAR, the Cup Series, back to Nashville is very special. We did see it a couple of years ago, like you said, for the Award Series banquet. But, you know, I always kind of thought, hey, if we're bringing the awards banquet back to Nashville, I bet you there's a plan here to see racing return to the Super Speedway. So I'm glad that came to fruition, and we'll all be back out there. I mean, Nashville, country music, NASCAR, it all goes synonymous with one another. So it sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. And like I said, we're all excited to have you here as well. What would it mean too? I mean, the whole fairgrounds thing is not done. You've raced in all American 400s out there. I mean, the potential of having a race at the Super Speedway, having something at the fairgrounds, you know, IndyCar is coming here with the Grand Prix. I mean, this is becoming a true racing city at multiple facilities.
It is, you know, I think it's pretty cool. Obviously there's a lot of excitement built around that. I hope the fans really do, pour into these tracks and support the racing so that we can continue to keep coming back and keep bringing it back. You know, it's remarkable to hear and, see that after almost 40 something years of the Cup Series not being in Nashville, that it's sold out to capacity. You know, tickets at the Nashville Super Speedway are gone for the Cup race, but yet there's still some that remain for the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series. So I'll be running in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday with my M&M Supra. And then I'll be in the Cup Series race, obviously, on Sunday with the Pedigree Toyota Camry. So looking forward to that and being there with a full weekend of racing.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be fun. And I figured you would do more than one race because that's what you do. Over 200 wins across the three national series. I mean, like anything with a steering wheel, you get in and you're competitive and you win. How do you keep those juices flowing of checking things off the list? You're a two-time Cup Series champion. What's kind of next for you and keeps you chasing after these goals year after year?
Well, I mean, to me, I think the Daytona 500 is obviously kind of the highest on the bucket list of a race that I haven't won yet that I want to win. So that's number one. I think what was really cool was a few years ago, I was able to capitalize on winning at every single racetrack we went to at that time, at that current time. You know, I checked it off, and that was pretty cool. Not even Richard Petty, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, none of the sports greats have ever done that. So that one felt really, really good. But now that we've been to different venues, I've got to pick up back where I was and get to winning, you know. So hopefully we can cross Nashville off at the first time when we get there and win the inaugural event there with the Cup Series cars. And, got to get back on the winning ways of going to Road America later this year. I missed out on COTA. Thought we had a shot to win that one earlier this year, but didn't come through. So that would be something cool to get back on.
Yeah. What was the whole racing in the rain like? It was crazy on TV. I can't imagine what it was like behind the wheel.
Yeah. The racing in the sprinkle was fine. The racing in the heavy downpour was not so good. It was really, really hard to see. Just our cars. I don't know if it's the tire and the water or our cars or what, but they just put up such a spray that, you can't see anything, you know? So, it was hard to see a guy in front of you, whether he was 4 feet, 10 feet, whatever it was, they would just disappear as you would start picking up speed.
I mentioned having your brother on earlier and I asked him, you know, racing against you and being competitive and you guys growing up in racing, but now it's family is different for you because Brexton is racing and starting his career at a very young age. What's that been like of being dad and trying to mentor him and also let him have fun at the same time?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I've definitely enjoyed it, you know, and it hasn't even been a year yet since he started. It was, 10 months ago or so when we first got into a race car and had him start racing. And not too long into the year, he was winning in the cadet class and winning some races there. This year, we've bumped him up and moved him up a class. And he just won his first beginner box stock race, is what it's called, 2 weeks ago. And he's finished second this year, fourth a couple times. So he's been picking up on it. But the patience of the dad has definitely been a struggle. You know, I see the improvement and we're going in the right direction. And then it's like there's a reset day and it's like, oh, okay, got to start over. And you got to kind of go up and again and build his confidence again after finishing, you know, or having a bad night or whatever it might be. But no, he's doing really good. And what's cool too is like off the track, you know, when he's away from the track and we're at home and I'm watching races on YouTube or watching races on TV or whatever, and he's asking me questions about it. He's invested in it as well too and really picking up a lot more on it. So it seems as though he's becoming a racer himself. And just the other night, I was like, hey, do you want to go up with your mom and read some books before bed? Or do you want to watch some race videos of the tracks that we're going to race at this summer? You know, he's going to go run in Wisconsin and Illinois and Iowa and stuff like that. And he was like, I want to see some of those tracks. I want to watch race videos. So mom got left out for the night, but no, it's been fun.
Now, you don't like finishing second, as we all know. How does he react when he comes up just a little bit short?
And believe it or not, he's worse.
Really?
He'll be leading the race or something like that, and he'll get passed for the lead, and he'll do a crossover and get the guy back, and the guy will cross him over and get him back. And they did that like 3 or 4 times the other night, and he ended up finishing second, but you can just kind of tell about halfway through when he couldn't figure out how to get back by the guy, he started to lose ground to him. Like he kind of started to not give up a little bit, but you could tell he felt defeated. And so he was crying underneath the helmet when he got back into the pits because he wasn't able to win, you know? And I was just like, man, you can't ever give up until it's over, man. You never know what's going to happen. You got to get up there and rattle that guy's cage and take it from him if you need to, you know? So we're working on that step a little bit still.
Yeah. He'll get to the point like you and Larson at Chicago, I think it was a few years ago. That was fantastic. Yeah. And I remember what you said when you got out of the car, and I got on this show and I said, I have no problem with what Kyle said of that's the type of racing and that you want to see as a race fan. And that's where your personality comes into play and what this sport needs. And the fans coming back, seeing that again, whether they boo you or cheer you, I know that has to feel good to have that back at the track of where they can decide, do they like Rowdy and how he rolls or do they not? That's got to be cool.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, it's been so quiet for the last little bit that, man, you almost felt like you were just racing at test sessions with no fans there. But getting the fan back has been good. I think of how everything's kind of trying to get back to normal. And when the fans have come back and you go through driver intros and you get booed, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's getting back to normal. All right, let's go. You know, so it's nice to see all of that, have that. Obviously, being able to sell these races to capacity has been good. Having many of these tracks start opening up to full capacity again for the summer months and leading on into the end of the year is going to be great for all of us as a sport, as well as many of the other sports too.
Something with the fans, I observed with you a couple of years ago. I was in Atlanta and I was with a buddy and we were hanging out before driver intros and all of you walked through. And I watched you stop at everyone that had M&Ms or any of your gear on. Take a picture, sign an autograph. I mean, you got a schedule, you got to get on stage. But I noticed that you made it a point. Anybody that was a member of Rowdy Nation, you stopped. And I have respected that about you ever since then, of that you acknowledge the people that acknowledge you.
Yeah, no doubt. That's right. You know, they're going through supporting me and being a part of Rowdy Nation. And we love that. And them cheering us on and backing us each and every week, whether we're winning, whether we're losing. Obviously, we want to be winning. We know what that feels like. So that's a good feeling. Everybody enjoys those days more than the other ones. But it just the ones that carry your gear to put up with the rest of them, you know, they obviously deserve more than the rest of the drivers can give to their fans. So taking care of those guys is what it's all about. So we appreciate them.
something I wanted to ask you about. Clearly, you run for Joe Gibbs Racing now and have done a lot of winning, but you started your career for Rick Hendrick in that five car. To see him break that record, being the all-time winningest owner in NASCAR, you have a couple of those in your career. What, and I know you have said it time and time again, you still have a lot of friends over there. What did that mean to see him do that?
No, it's special. You know, I think anytime you're able to set records, break records, you know, beat records, whatever it might be, I think it's obviously a huge testament to how long guys have been able to sustain their business in the sport. I think that's one thing. I look at Rick as being one of those mentors of our sport and one of the great owners of our sport. My tenure there was a bit short-lived, I feel like, but, you know, Rick and I have remained friends over the years. And, you know, it's like you said, there's a few guys that still work over there that I'm friends with that I talk to and stuff like that too. So me being a part of that history is remarkable. Obviously, I only had four wins, so it wasn't a huge tally, but still to be a part of that was a big deal. And, you know, I'd love to see what we could do at Joe Gibbs Racing to catch that and, you know, and maybe one day be able to beat the Petty part and still chase the Hendrick part for many years to come.
As you guys get ready to come to Nashville, one thing that has been different the last year and a half, no practice, no qualifying. NASCAR is allowing that for new tracks. And so you got to see that at COTA and some places that you're visiting for the first time. How beneficial is that going to be, coming to a place like Nashville that you haven't been to in over 10 years, even though you have raced here, you have that advantage over some of these guys, but how big is it going to be able to dial in the car?
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool with, you know, like you said, me not being there in 12 years, I don't even remember what it was like the last time I drove there. I remember it was the Xfinity race. I think I won the race, but, you know, I'd have to go back and watch the videos of that and remember what exactly the track was like, how the track changed throughout the weekend, look at some of the practices and stuff like that, look at some of the truck races that went down and just kind of remember the ways of being able to maneuver the track. You know, I mean, the cars change so much anyways, but just having a fresh perspective or an understanding of what you're looking to get yourself into is a big deal. Having practice for that weekend is beneficial. I'm also running the Xfinity race that weekend, so that I'll be practicing in the Xfinity car, qualifying that, practicing the Cup car, qualifying that. So I should have my fair share of experience by the time we get to race time too. So that should all be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And the All-Star race this weekend at Texas, first time doing that. It was at Bristol last year. Cool to see them move that event around. What are you expecting from Texas?
You know, I don't know. They've got a little different package that we're going there with, but I really don't think it's going to be a whole lot different than what we're used to. I think they're taking away, you know, 30, 40 horsepower or something like that, just to kind of get us packed up and closer together a little bit more. You know, they're going to have the PJ1 down on the racetrack. So, the bottom groove, the middle groove will hopefully, work its way in to where you can run in both of those and be fast, good side-by-side action. You know, the stages are short, so there's not going to be a whole lot of time for separation. You're going to have to be in a hurry because you have to finish well. There's going to be inversions and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot going on, a lot to pay attention to or be ready for as a competitor, as a team and driver. But as a fan, just watch the race and watch the action. I'm sure it'll be intense.
Absolutely. Well, Kyle, this has been a lot of fun. It's good to catch up with you. And we look forward to seeing you in Nashville.
Yeah, appreciate that. Looking forward to it. Thank you, man.
That's going to do it for this special edition of Chasing Checkers. Again, if you miss anything, any of our shows, ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com, or wherever you get your podcasts, just search for Chasing Checkers. Enjoy the race weekend. Remember to hydrate, to be safe. But NASCAR is officially back in Middle Tennessee, and we could not be more excited about that. You can hear the Ally 400 starting at 1:30 tomorrow on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Again, we will have MRN's coverage starting at 1:30, so be sure to check that out. Until next week, I am Chase McCabe. Join us every Saturday at 9 here for Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game.